Hi, I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new documentary series from Oxford Road and the team behind Age of Audio. We dive into how podcasting exploded into a storytelling revolution and how big tech and big money are threatening its future now. You'll hear from podcast industry heavyweights like Ira Glass, Adam Carolla, Guy Raz, Leo Laporte, the Mycelis Brothers, and more. What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined is out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in.
Welcome to hour two of the show. Yesterday, we got an email from our promo team, Courtney, letting us know that we have something to give you guys. And we're going to do that now. We talk a lot about movies here. We have a segment dedicated to movies and TV. Well, now we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets. So at 11:10, let's go 11:10. So that's less than 3 minutes away. Caller five. 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets and along with a $100 Visa gift card to see the Thunderbolts. It'll be in theaters May 2nd. It's brought to you by Marvel Studios, an unconventional team of anti-heroes. They're not heroes, but they're not giving up. So caller 573-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the advanced screening plus a $100 gift card, courtesy of the film Thunderbolts, with Florence Pugh, one of Sean's favorites. Of course, you've got David Harbour from Stranger Things. You've got, Louis Pullum. You may recognize his face. I can't even tell you what he's been in.
Maverick. He was in Top Gun Maverick.
There it is. He was also in
Bob.
He was also in an Apple TV show with Brie Larson, another Marvel connection there. So, caller 5 at 11:10. Get a chance to see that movie early and get a couple, get some bucks as well, $100 from Visa, courtesy of the Thunderbolts, brought to you by Marvel Studios. I had a good time at the movies with Sinners. I'm excited to see Thunderbolts. I like Florence Pugh. I like her as Black Widow, the new Black Widow. We'll see. She's a bit of a depressive from all the trailers. Not having a good time with life.
Bit of a downer.
Yeah, we'll say. Hey, pick it up.
Smile more.
Don't tell a woman that, particularly her. Don't do that. So we will see how that plays out. You guys will too if you are caller 5, 713-780-3776. So happy to do that. Okay, we'll get to the Nico Harrison thing here, and then we'll try to get back on time. Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavericks, has had a tough run since he traded Luka. His team suffered a lot of injuries from Kyrie. Of course, Anthony Davis missed time immediately. He rushed back from an injury because he got traded and he wanted to play and represent the Mavs. Had a great half against the Rockets. The Mavs saw the vision. The fans, as upset as they were, said, oh, look, Anthony Davis can be a dominant force. They barely scraped into the play-in, mostly because the Suns were just more awful. And then after winning a game in Sacramento, they get smashed by the Mavericks. So it's time for the after-season press conference where the reporters get to ask him questions. There was a closed-door, no-recording press conference less than 2 weeks ago now, which was prompted by the owner. That came out that it wasn't Nico's decision for any of it. The owner wanted it done, I guess, to get the Mavericks' message across. Well, this one, people could hear, they could see, and they heard Nico say something. We'll get to that here. Sean's a little busy coordinating the giveaway. But as I said before we went to break, if I start to parse what he's saying and considering the context of what he's gone through, I would understand the quote. That maybe he underestimated the love that Luka had in Dallas. And if you don't know, he had to hire extra security because in fear of his personal safety. If you know about the Fire Nico chants, you know about any time anyone saw him, he was going to catch a little bit from Mavs fans who are completely upset. And you have a fan base turning on your GM and the franchise as a whole. And other things have come out about that franchise to place it in the realm of absolute disaster, even beyond the trade. But was it over the top? Were the reactions over the top? Well, Nico Harrison thinks so. He says he's surprised by the move. And I think Sean is still on the phone, so he won't be able to play the sound. But that's kind of the gist of it. A man who did not know what he was getting into when he made the move. He saw it as a strictly basketball move. He didn't see it as something that had more stakes to it than that. Maybe he's just a numbers guy, a real one, unlike Lance. And, hey, and the sense of it all was, we're not going to pay a guy the Supermax who won't stay in shape, who we can't trust to devote all he needs to being a great player. And not just now or the next couple of years, but now and into his 30s and to his mid-30s, because Luka's a franchise player. You want him around forever. But we're not going to handcuff ourselves to a guy who can't be trusted. But he underestimated it. And I've said the words. Here's Nico Harrison on what he thought was going to be the case and what actually was after trading Luka.
We don't have the...
Oh, I didn't put it. I didn't put the
it's
audio.
It's not in the rundown.
No. Oh, you can look. If you type in Nico Harrison and Luka, It comes up on Twitter. All right. It's like the first video. I guess I forgot to relay that during the break. That's on me. But it's a short clip, about 50 seconds, and it's a man who, I don't know if it's a deer in the headlights thing, but he was surprised by it all, and now he's dealing with the fallout, and maybe, well, while he still has his job, no one really thinks he's going to survive unless he's just going to become the guy who catches all the shrapnel, and they'll keep him there, because if he gets fired, then it's on the owners. You haven't heard a lot about the owners because the media has talked all about Nico Harrison, despite him not being able to act on his own. So maybe he's just the human meat shield until some of this dies down. But here's still the Mavericks GM on the response to the Luka trade in the city of Dallas.
I didn't know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. But really, the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to, you know, go on and on.
Now, winning would have quieted it. Why you thought a team that's depending on Klay Thompson for heavy minutes would have been a championship team, that can be a different conversation. Well, you're depending on Klay, who's been hurt, and has had a long recovery. You're depending on Anthony Davis, who's always hurt. And Kyrie, well, just got hurt, but he's had injury issues in the past too. So as much as you're trading Luka away because you don't trust him to keep himself in shape, you are depending on guys who have a long injury history to be the backbone of a championship team. And that's a short-term thing. Like, you're trading Luka, you bring in Anthony Davis. How many years does Anthony Davis have left of being a top player where you think he can be the backbone of your defense? And you're two to Kyrie's one as far as offensive production. So it was a short-sighted thing. He thought it would work out. He's already lost a year of it because of the injuries. And now I think he probably has one more year of this being something you can sell as a potential contender. Maybe that's the wait. Nico said this will be a two-year window. We'll give him 2 years. And plus, people can yell at him and not at us. Hey, Nico convinced us. You know, maybe we should have stopped them, but we trust our basketball people. Nico made great trades in bringing in P.J. Washington and Gafford and, of course, drafting Derek Lively. We went to the finals with his moves. Yeah, but the other move was not trading Luka last year. He was on your roster. That's why you made the finals. So I get why the quote and the sound is gone where it's gone, but I get it, man. I didn't think my life would be threatened. I didn't think I'd be a pariah. I didn't think I'd have to hide. They're Dallas fans. Who knew? I thought they just cared about the Cowboys.
Yeah. This is also something like we talked about where it's like my life is threatened, but it's like, is it just people just on Twitter just being like, effing hate Nico Harris? Or is it like, I am actually going to kill you? Like, there's just a level of like.
You hire personal security. So maybe he hired extra security. So maybe he was never threatened, but there's a thought that if he was walking around, he could get accosted. And that's why they hired him. Because trades get made all the time. And general managers don't have to hire extra security to walk through the arena that they walk through every day.
I do just wonder, like, what would happen if he just didn't have security?
He would get yelled at a lot. Would anyone try to hit him?
Yeah,
I don't know that.
That's what I'm saying. Would his life be actually in danger around Mavericks fans?
Well, maybe it's personal safety. Maybe his life in danger takes it to a level where there's a suggestion or the implication that he's getting death threats. But maybe there's a worry that it won't just be words. It'll be face-to-face confrontations, and you don't know what those are going to lead to. A drunk fan had a couple. Oh, Nico's walking around. I got something to say to Nico.
Someone throws a beer at him.
Yeah, something like that. Things like that.
In the Superman trailer.
And that, yeah. Yes, Nico Harrison, Clark Kent, or Kal-El. Exactly the same.
Didn't think people would be mad about him saving their franchise from Luka Doncic.
He misplayed this one in multiple ways. But I would say, not that I have any sway in Dallas, much like Nico. Maybe relax. Maybe don't take it to a point where he thinks, and maybe it's a projection and not real, that where he thinks and the people around him think he needs to hire people to keep you crazies away from him. Hiding. People are like, look at him hiding. Well, there's a reason he's hiding. Because you guys aren't going to leave him alone. I love those pictures that show up on Twitter and like Dallas fans. Look at that coward. He's hiding. Yeah. Because you guys aren't just going to sit there and let him watch the game. It's going to be something where you harass them throughout. You know what people don't like signing up for in their place of work? Harassment. Trust me, I deal with John and Lance. I ain't looking for that.
Yeah.
But the paycheck's too good.
You should have your own security team.
Sorry. I'm not a coward.
Oh.
Unlike Nico, according to Dallas fans, so I won't hire extra security to do my job.
Mm-hmm. And you know that John and Lance all talk.
Yeah, and John is generally not drunk at work, so he doesn't have the liquid courage to really get into a physical altercation. And Lance is too feeble. I mean, some facts are just facts.
Feeble.
He's a little feeble. I mean, he's always got an injury. Like, what will it take?
What was he nursing?
He had a nosebleed this morning.
Oh.
A nosebleed just out of nowhere. Mr. Glass. Beat it. It's the only time.
Did he power through the nosebleed?
No, he walked off and took care of it. Then came back. Only time he'll ever be compared to Samuel Jackson, Mr. Glass. You know. So when I say feeble, it's not an insult. It's just an assessment of what he is.
I think feeble is...
Feeble is an English word. Sorry. I'm sorry if it's an apt description. I didn't call him weak or soft.
I almost think feeble is a word.
No, soft suggests there's something internally that's wrong. He's just physically feeble.
Okay. Okay, so it's not a mentality.
No, there. It's not about – the problem is he overestimated his physical capabilities. He thinks he's something, but his body has been letting him down for years now.
I just think of like a sick orphan or something.
I understand.
Think of people.
I understand.
Not a radio Hall of Fame.
You mean like a nosebleed? An orphan with a nosebleed? Out of nowhere? That came out of nowhere?
I'm worried he's not going to make it through the winter, considering how feeble he is.
It's cold.
It does.
Someone gets picked off.
Better.
It might be Lance. Only the strong survive.
You know what? Extra blanket for you.
Yeah. It's a good night for you.
Tiny Tim. Was Tiny Tim feeble?
Well, yes. That was a great description.
That's your player comp? For Lance this draft season?
If I were to think, well, did Tiny Tim have braces on his leg? No, he didn't. He had a crutch, though.
I was
going
to say he had a crutch.
He had a crutch.
I don't know what the diagnosis was.
Yeah, I don't. Did he have polio? I don't know what Tiny Tim had. But it's a Dickens creation, so he might have. I don't know. We're going to look at what Tiny Tim was afflicted with to
injury.
See if he...
Tiny Tim injury
report?
Injury.
Injury history on Tiny Tim? What was Tiny Tim...
Arthroscopic knee... No.
What was he cursed with? Why was he sick? Just a lack of fruit? Lack of nutrients?
Collapsed lung.
Oh, okay.
And several broken ribs.
Lance fell off a ladder and... either dislocated something or broke something.
Oh, wait. This is a musician named Tiny Tim.
Yeah, that's a...
Oh, rickets.
That's why he had the crutch. I can see Lance with rickets. What are the symptoms of rickets so we know to make the correct comp?
Let's see. Childhood disease that leads to soft and weak bones.
Another word for feeble.
Often insufficient levels of vitamin D, calcium, or phosphates.
Well, I don't think he has rickets. I just think he's feeble.
It is extremely rare, it says.
Yeah, I don't think Lance has rickets, because then there'd be a diagnosis. It's fun just call him feeble. And we'll go to break with that.
Muscle weakness, pain in the spine, pelvis, and legs. Bow legs?
He's not bow legged. I can say that. He's not that.
Delayed motor skills?
I don't know about that either.
Okay.
He can handle that controller when he's looking up on guys.
The Xbox?
Yeah, I think he's fine there. I think his motor skills are fine. All right, we'll go to break with that. I did not know. I was trying to find something funny that wasn't too insulting, but I guess feeble is too far.
It's a little disrespectful. I think you insulted him a little.
A little bit. I think I hit the mark, though. Well, Mr. Feeble will be back tomorrow as we get ever closer to the NFL draft. It's his time, and then he'll get to go on vacation, I think, because it's been a long run for him. He's deficient of nutrients. He's putting in a lot of work. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll hear from CJ Stroud when we come back. He spoke about his new OC and what that means for his ability to kind of take control of the offense. So CJ on Nick Cayley, and also what it's like to lose a couple of your best friends. He talked about that as well. We'll be back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Okay, let's get to CJ Stroud. He spoke yesterday. We know he has been less than out there. And he told us that he was kind of gonna go away. Now he showed up to the Rockets Warriors game. Main thing that came out of that was he was seen talking to Steph Curry. Curry was asked about his, hey, just a couple guys talking about both athletes. Says big fan, so on and so forth. So nothing there. But in front of the media yesterday, he was asked about a couple of things. The big departure was Laremy Tunsil. They also said goodbye to Shaq Mason. CJ was close to those two, but he also understands why things happen. Here's CJ Stroud on the departure of two starting offensive linemen.
Build relationships with guys, and, you know, your LT, of course, who I know you're talking about, and Shaq, you know, those are two of my best friends, so that I've come into the league with. So, yeah, it hurts, you know what I mean? Our front office knows that, and they know how I felt about it, and But I totally understand, and I'm not against it at all. I totally think that we're heading to the right side of things. And, you know, I think something I learned about Nick is that he has a plan. No matter what happens, he always has something up his sleeve. So, of course, sometimes we don't know what that is, but you just have that trust, and that's something that we actually talked about today, having blind trust and, you know, having earned trust. And for Nick, I mean, he's gained my trust in both areas. So, I'm excited, but, you know, I'm always going to be best friends with those guys and rooting them on. And, you know, I still talk to them daily. So,
CJ Stroud, the Nick he's talking about is Casario. We'll hear from CJ on what Nick Caley has done to change things for him. But so Tunsil and Shaq Mason out. This is the second Texan this offseason who said Nick's got something up his sleeve. Didn't Joe Mixon say that early, like right after the season was over, about how Nick Casario had big plans and don't worry about it, Nick's always up to something? Do you think Nick says that to people around the building? Don't worry about it, I got something up my sleeve. Or is it something where, because he's Trader Nick, I guess, that they always know a move can be made? Has it ever been said by anyone in that building, mainly Nick, that he's got something up his sleeve?
I think he plants the seeds. I think whenever he wants to leave a room or a conversation, he just goes, oh, hold on, gotta take this.
I'm
working on something.
It's the Schefter.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like a, hey, I can't let, I'm trying to think of another GM's name. I can't let Andrew Berry go to voicemail, all right?
I don't think he says specifically, I got something up my sleeve. He goes, hey, Nick, what's up, man? He goes, you know, I'm always working on something.
Yeah, I'm,
you know, grind never stops.
Yeah, I'm busy time of year.
Puts the phone up to his ear.
Yeah.
Nick's on to something, something like that. So,
Hello.
There's a Dave
Gettleman. Yeah.
Howie? We like to make trades, right? So, there's a belief in that building that Nick's always working, I think. And
He's cooking.
And it's translating to a couple guys saying Nick's got something up his sleeve, whatever that might be. Of course, that's going to lead to certain accounts with the eye emojis.
He's cooking something big.
Nick will make a trade in the draft. It's what he does. So that's not a surprise. And he has acquired big names. And when he was healthy, Stephon Diggs was working out, of course. And Joe Mixon. Maybe his best trade so far. Didn't have to give up much for him. And Joe Mixon, once again, when he was avoiding being collared, hip drop tackled, he was pretty good. So maybe Nick's got something in store for us right before the draft, during the draft, as the Texans are a team that was predicted to be, along with the Eagles, a team that would make some moves. So look for the Texans to be active if the reports are true. From media members and from CJ. Because that sleeve is full of things that Nick's going
to
do.
Yeah, man. Can't wait to see what he does. Can't wait to see him trade down from 25 to 29 to pick up a fourth rounder.
A 2026 fourth rounder, yeah. By the way.
You never know what he's up to, man.
We know he's active. At least we can take that. Whether you agree with them or not, we know Nick Casario is about calling guys and seeing what he can come up with. CJ also talked about the other Nick, Nick Caley, which is probably the one that's going to be more important in season. What Casario's doing now will affect in season, but CJ is going to take on a different role in this offense. Yes, leader of the offense, we knew that to be the case. But now he's away from what you might say is a paint-by-numbers type of offense. That's maybe some of the criticism of the Shanahan offense, where he holds the hand of the quarterback. He makes sure the quarterback is really a extension of him, and now you get production out of it because the offense has been good for years with him, and they've had great players to make it work, and that's why Jimmy Garoppolo can lead you to a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy can do it. Guys who, right or wrong, are looked at as lesser talents. But when people break down that offense, they talk about, oh, this is Shanahan's doing, not the quarterback's doing. And a lot of people believe CJ can be more than that, and I believe CJ does too. Here's CJ Stroud on his new responsibilities under Nick Caley.
He comes from L.A. and New England, and, you know, he's going to bring some of that swag over here. So, that kind of is what I'm used to, is, you know, taking control and, you know, being a little more pre-snap, you know, having tools to put my guys in the best position. And that's, you know, something that we really didn't work on these last 2 years. But even those principles I learned from, and it made me better because it added a new element to my game. So You know, be able to, you know, just get better and learn from, you know, what he did with, you know, New England and L.A. Would definitely help me because I feel, you know, those are two schemes that I'm, you know, kind of used to in a sense. Like, that's kind of what I ran and out of Ohio State, what kind of New Orleans does a little bit. And in L.A., you know, it's kind of what we ran here these last 2 years. So I'll be able to, you know, put my swag on it and have fun with it. And, you know, he's all about, you know, me taking full ownership and running the show. And that's what I want. So, you know, I'm going to get what I want. And that's really been really cool just to see that he's, like, bought into me and he doesn't really know me well yet. So, you know, he talked about today having blind trust. And, you know, I have a lot of trust in him already, just how he talks and, you know, how he presents in the room and things like that. It's really cool to see.
So Nick Caley is winning the meeting room, at least with C.J. Stroud. You, Sean, reacted a couple of times to a couple of things that C.J. Stroud said, or maybe the same thing he said, and you just reacted to it because he said it a couple of times. What was your head nodding about? Because C.J., it was about a minute or so of him talking about what's new for him, and you kept going to a couple of things.
I like what I'm hearing.
Oh, okay.
About the swag that's coming from Nick Caley.
That didn't seem like that. Well,
that seemed like a
head nod of, oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, no, it's what everyone knows about the you know, when you come
Rams
from the Patriots,
and Patriots swag.
Yeah, when you come from the Patriots, that kind of swag that follows you.
I don't know what that man's saying to C.J. Stroud. Maybe,
and now C.J. gets to turn a swag on. So
C.J. gets to put his swag on the offense. Everyone is meeting, at least some of us are meeting it, meeting that new knowledge about how he's going to be more control of the offense with, like, applause, and you're excited about it. Do I know that C.J. Stroud is capable of directing an offense all by his lonesome? Do I know that he is going to be proficient in that as a third-year player? I know that people got tired of Slowick pretty quickly because of how last season went, but I don't know that C.J. Stroud is going to be at his best when he has more responsibility on his plate. I just found it interesting how
much about the swag, really.
Okay. But before he said those words, people were looking forward to C.J. having more control. Why? Why do we think that's better for the, what is he, 24, 25 years old? I don't know that he is going to be ready to do that. I guess we'll find out about how much control he's capable of handling, but he's getting what he wants. That's another thing you heard. I'm getting what I want. This is what he wanted to do.
Maybe that's why, or that's part of the reason why, is that people know that, like, this is what C.J. Stroud wants. The bad man, Bobby Slowick, was holding
him
down.
Call him a bad place.
Yeah.
C.J.'s 23.
Now,
he'll be 24 in October.
Yeah, now he can do what he wants.
Run an offense by himself.
Mm-hmm. No hand-holding. I'm a big boy.
Okay. Now you've taken it to a different level, which I appreciate.
Look at my
swag. Put my swag on it.
I'm putting my swag
on the offense.
Not turning my swag on, like Soulja Boy.
So if he's putting a swag on this offense, the assumption is he was turning a swag off because Slowick wouldn't let him put his swag on.
There's no swag on Bobby Slowick. I think we can both agree that Bobby Slowick did not have a ton of swag.
If I look at Nick Caley, will I see swag?
More swag.
The one you called Sean McVay's coffee getter?
Sean McVay has a lot of swag.
He's got a Sean McVay-like beard and haircut. He's adopted, like, some things from Sean McVay. So more swag than Slowick. It's coffee. You think he has the same coffee order?
Everything.
Everything. He's a single male. He's a single white male. He's just doing everything that
it worked for him.
That ended poorly. That movie did, at least.
Oh, no, I meant work for Sean McVay.
Yeah, so, yeah, you duplicate what the guy who won a Super Bowl has done. From coffee to his beard to his hair. It is remarkably similar, that hair.
Swag. A lot of swag.
And he's bringing it to the Texans. Hopefully, it goes the way everyone wants it to, where CJ's dialing up plays, making audibles, making checks, because that's what he wants. Andy, I see you. You want to talk with the Texans offensive line, the one that CJ will be directing this year? We'll get to Andy. Anyone else want to get in on anything? You can. The number is 713-780-3776. We got a couple more segments to go. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We talked plenty of Texans. We talked Astros early. They've got a chance to go over 500. Rennell Blanc on the mound tonight against Chris Bassitt. 36-year-old Chris Bassitt is having a great start to his season. Astros trying to get the 12-11. They've done the two games in a row thing, trying to do it again tonight, and we'll see if they can finally get over that 500 mark. We mentioned earlier that Damian Lillard will play tonight, so after being ruled out indefinitely because of a blood clot, news broke last week that he would be good to go at some point. He's off the blood thinner, so we'll see Damian Lillard in the Bucks against the Pacers. Pacers are up 1-0. They blew out the Bucks. The Pacers love to talk. They're kind of front runners. When they're shooting the ball well and the offense is flowing, they'll let you know about it. And it led to a confrontation between Halliburton and Damian Lillard. We'll see how that plays out on the court tonight. And while we were talking about the Texans and Nick Caserio being someone very active, looks like the draft, sure, it begins at 1, but any of the intrigue looks like it'll begin at 2 and 3. The Browns and Giants are actively taking calls about trades. They're trying to see what type of haul they can get. There isn't really a specification if that's about someone trying to trade it for a quarterback, and the one quarterback you think would be drafted in that spot, if there was to be one, would be Shedeur Sanders, who is someone at this point appears to be falling. But it looks to be about Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, along with Ashton Jeanty. Teams value those three guys. You probably would say, as far as skill position guys, the top players in the draft that you want to consider defensive end, maybe not a skills position, but a premium position. While the quarterbacks get all the love, I mean, at least Shedeur because of his story. Cam's been a pretty quiet thing. The Titans have zeroed in on him. No one believes the two quarterbacks are maybe even top 10 to 15 players in this draft. I think I saw another either GM or scout say, yeah, Cam goes one in this draft, but he would have been the seventh quarterback taken in last year's draft. That's how people look at these quarterbacks. I don't know the difference, why there's such a stark difference between, let's say, Cam and who went third quarterback last year?
Drake May.
I mean, I saw both of them play quite a bit. I know who I would take, but Drake May, clearly a better draft prospect than Cam Ward. Don't know why. It's just what people think. And Cam Ward would be behind Bo Nix and McCarthy from last year. Feels like you're stretching it, GM/scout. But that's
Penix.
That's how. Well, yeah. I don't know. I saw Cam Ward play throughout his career. The first time he had a relatively good offensive line, he was a Heisman finalist. Now he's a risk taker. He does that. He likes to hold the football a little bit and look for the big play. I just don't see the stark difference between, let's say, Bo Nix and McCarthy and why they're clearly better prospects. But that's how it's shaken out. And then Shedeur and Jackson Dart fall further down as far as that pecking order. So right now, the people, or at least the players that teams want, Jeanty, Hunter, Carter. And by consensus, those three guys are the best players in this draft. So maybe the Browns and Giants don't stick where they are, and they're willing to give up those slots because they get a nice package to move out. I don't know. For teams like that, you don't have a lot of premium players on your roster. Maybe just take a premium player.
Yeah, that's why I have a hard time believing this. I think this, to me, is more it's the Tuesday before the draft. We already know who the number one pick, so we have to, like,
yeah.
Well, because there always has to be, even years where it's not 100% clear who it's going to be number one, they go like, I mean, we don't know who could, you know, sources inside the building say they love the number two pick just as much as the number one pick. And it's like, at the end of the day, it still is like a TV show that they're trying to get people to watch.
Exactly.
So that's why the, like, very on the morning, on the ESPN morning show, Peter Schrager floats out there that there's mystery teams looking to trade for 2 and 3.
And Schrager is new to the ESPN brand. Got to shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, gotta get yourself out there.
Yeah, and he'll make his calls. And here's some news. And who knows how strongly any of these teams are actually looking to trade for one of those spots. Maybe it's just a simple, hey, we called about it. Exploratory talks, but nothing's going to come of it. It could very well be just, hey, we talked to the Giants and the Browns about it.
Yeah.
And that's enough to tell people.
Someone called us and gave us an offer, and we said, no thanks.
Yeah, it wasn't good enough, but hey, talks has been had. People are making calls. They're taking calls. So there we are. We're only a couple of days away, and of course, ESPN, because they, as Sean said, have to sell a TV show, have their draft clock going on. I think anything above 48 hours, I don't need a clock for.
Agreed.
A clock for 55. This started Monday.
Yeah, Monday. So it was like 80 yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
What are we doing? So 55 plus hours until the draft, if you needed that update. Thanks, ESPN. All right, we got one more segment to go before we're back. Andy, I saw you. You had to drop off. We do have that last segment, so if you want to get in or anyone else, you can. Me and Sean, for a couple more minutes, we will be back. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And today is a great day to get involved because it's a Taco Tuesday. That's right. Discounts throughout the day. Right now, they're offering a slashed on Jarrah Morant's points projection, now as low as 19.5. It's normally for today for game two of Memphis OKC. It is 24.5. So you're getting 5 points right there to play with. So you put Ja Morant in a lineup. Maybe you're interested in the Astros and the Blue Jays later tonight. Ronel Blanco takes them out for the Astros. It's been shaky so far this year. Do you ride with them, or do you like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to have more than 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI? I think if it's going to be business as usual for Ronel Blanco in 2025, it might be a tough night. So that's how you can build a lineup. Maybe Jeremy Pena, more than 1.5 hits, runs, RBI. Or maybe you want to watch some NHL, some soccer, some darts, some whatever you want, European soccer. It's all there on Prize Picks. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So that promo we play gets me every time because that little boop is the same sound I get from DMs, which is the point of it, obviously, but it's like little reach for my phone and I realize, oh yeah, ain't no one trying to talk to you. as the kids would say, Sean, sometimes your DMs are dry. Tough beat. Not as tough as what's going on for Unk, though. We have not talked about it. And I think everyone's learned their lesson than to speak on something from the internet before you have all the information. Certain ESPN personality and a Barstool one as well have learned that lesson. But Shannon Sharp has been sued by the same, as far as the lawyer is concerned, by the same lawyer who represented the women who were going after Deshaun Watson. Shannon Sharp released, let's say, racy texts through Twitter yesterday. Well, the woman in question, through her lawyer, has responded with audio of Shannon Sharp in a conversation with her. And, of course, it's been about a minute and a half of a longer conversation. We don't know how it began or really how it ended. And, of course, Shannon Sharp is a prominent voice on ESPN, has his own company, and is on the verge of signing, or at least has been offered a big deal. But that is out there right now. It's ugly. Don't know what's real and what isn't. Just know that each side has released their version of events, and none of it's going to make anyone look good. So he was on ESPN this morning. I'm going to highly doubt it was mentioned once. And his time on the air is done, and then they release the audio of him. Now, you can listen to it for the context of it, because there's a back and forth. She says something, and he goes, if you say this one more time, I'm going to do this. Whether you take that seriously or not, the audio's there, and he'll have to answer for that. And that's where I'll leave it, because there's not much more to say than what has been released so far. But either way, what we do know is that Shannon Sharpe has been sued, and this one doesn't appear to – it's not going to play out behind closed doors.
No.
It looks like both representatives, the lawyers, and also the defendant and the plaintiff are willing to air the laundry and the grievances.
Yeah, and we know that with Tony Busby, with our experience with Tony Busby, because like you said, he's been involved in a lot of these high-profile recent cases. And we know that because of how Shannon Sharpe's representation has handled this situation up until now, or at least how they handled it yesterday, which is to release very, very racy text, I'd say.
Yes. And Busby has already given interviews about why the timing. I mentioned Shannon's on the verge of a deal, podcast deal. Busby says it has nothing to do with that. You can take that for what it's worth. But so people are willing to talk about this on both sides. And salacious is one word for it, but the accusations are of a very serious nature. So Shannon Sharpe appears to want to fight it, and the woman appears, along with her lawyer, they appear to want to make this as ugly as they can in public, and I guess see where the chips may fall. So there that is. We are done for the day. Coming up next is Paul Gallant. The Killer Bees follow him. After that somewhat serious discussion that we rarely ever have, I'm interested to see what Sean plays as we close out the show. Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean? Oh, Gruden, that's a surprise. Hey, John. Well, we haven't had a lot.
I know which ones I can't play.
Yeah, okay.
After that.
Yes. Yeah. Someone has a little discernment and a filter as well. John Gruden, host of Gruden's Quarterback Class. Shout out to Seth Hennigan. I'm sure it went well. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.